Hi, my love. I hope you're enjoying Manifest Daily, whether this is your second or your 22nd episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. And if you really love the show, I would appreciate it if you could do me a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It really helps the show grow and reach more listeners like yourself. And like I said, I would be super grateful for you to leave that 5-star review. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this amazing and growing podcast community. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, my love, welcome. I'm so excited to have you tuned in to your first ever episode of Manifest Daily. And of course, to my OG listeners, thank you so much for being here and welcome back to another episode of your fave. Today, we are doing another guest episode, and this is a guest that I have had on the show recently. It's Helena Woods, and I'm super, super, super excited for this conversation because we aren't talking about astrocartography today, which is what we talked about when Helena was on the podcast for the first time. But today we are talking about a topic that is, I think, becoming more and more relevant these days based on so many different factors that we are experiencing in this particular reality and in our society. And this is the conversation around being child-free by choice. Now, y'all know I did an episode, I want to say a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, on my thoughts on being child-free or exploring the possibility of being child-free, rather, because I literally spent most of my life thinking I was going to have kids, and not just a couple of them. I wanted like 5 kids. And now I'm in this really weird place where I don't know if I will have any kids. I kind of feel like I'm leaning towards I probably will have kids, because honestly, deep down, I think I would make an amazing mother, okay, if I'm going to toot my own little horn. But I do think there are so many factors to consider when it comes to being a parent. And in this particular conversation, I'm chatting with Helena because Helena is child-free by choice. And I remember when I stumbled across her content on YouTube, it was a mix of astrocartography content, which if you are interested in astrocartography and you want to know what that is and you want to know how to figure out, like, you know, where to live based on attracting abundance, love, community, all of the things, please go listen to that episode, that first episode that I did with Helena, because there's so much value packed into that one. But when I stumbled across her channel, I remember it was astrocartography, and then she also had content around child-free living, and then also her relationship with her husband, which was, what did she call it? Oh my goodness. Unconventional, that's not the term, but we're going to go with that term, unconventional, right? And I was so fascinated because within her content, she was so unapologetic about her choice to be child-free by choice. And I think when it comes to being a woman in society, I think when you say that you are child-free by choice, there can often be a lot of backlash against that, because there are women out there who want to have kids but are either unable to naturally or have a lot of difficulty, you know, getting pregnant. And so when you're here and you're able to get pregnant but you're choosing not to, there's a lot of backlash, or there can be a lot of backlash around, well, why aren't you, you know, procreating? That's the point of being a woman. That's the point of being a human being. How are we going to sustain our race as human beings if you're not having kids? And there can be a lot of pressures also on the familial level or even the friendship level, where, you know, your friends are having kids and you feel left out if you are not joining them and going down that particular path. So we talk about all of these different things, and whether you are a parent already, whether you are not a parent but you want to be, perhaps you are considering, you know, maybe you want to be child-free, or you're thinking about it and you're not sure, this episode is so powerful for like everyone, no matter what part of the spectrum you're on. It's such a powerful episode because I think that even if you are a parent or you want to be a parent, I'm sure there's someone out there that you know who is considering this decision or who is sitting in this really weird place where they're on the fence and they don't know if they want to have kids or they don't know if they don't want to have kids. And maybe you hear something in this particular episode that can help support them on their journey. So it is a juicy one and I hope that you guys enjoy it. If you are a parent, I think you can really get some value out of this one because there are so many fun things that we talk about and so many deep things that we talk about as it relates to society and how women are viewed and their role and their purpose in society. So it's a good one. Grab a little snack, grab a little bevy of choice as we get ready to dive into this episode. I'm so excited to like check in with you guys. It's Monday as I'm recording this. And when I tell y'all, I have been struggling with this gnat infestation in my house. And when I tell you, I have put in so many pest control requests, so many requests for maintenance. Pest control guy came and the maintenance guy came and the pest control guy came again. And today maintenance came to fix my screen door. And he's like, oh my God, you have so many of these bugs outside your front door. So I'm just like, oh my God. But I guess they're spraying the property tomorrow because obviously, you know, it's getting to the summertime, things are getting warm, bugs are coming out. There's so many bugs this summer. And I heard the cicadas are about to be crazy. Okay. And I don't want to have to be tussling with no cicadas because I can't fight. And I damn sure can't fight no bugs. So please, please leave me be. I'm already going insane with these damn gnats. But anyways, I literally just got a message from the community saying that pest control is coming to the townhouse tomorrow because I'm just like, please help me. Yeah, that's what's going on my side of the universe here. But I want to do an episode soon, like a little update check-in. I might do a Q&A or something. So I'm just trying to figure out my life, you guys. I'm in the same place of confusion of like trying to figure it all out. Yeah. So anyways, I appreciate y'all for being here. If you're still listening to this podcast, if you're still enjoying these episodes, even though it's kind of been really weird energy that I'm navigating lately, I truly, truly, truly appreciate you. So grab your snack, grab your bevy of choice, and let's go ahead and dive into this episode with Helena Woods on Child Free by Choice Living. I am so excited to have you back on Manifest Daily. I love that we're like connecting again, especially for this conversation. As we were saying before we started the recording, this is such an important conversation for us to have, especially with the current climate. So before we dive into the juicy topic of the day, can we do like a little recap for anyone that's new to you and your work? Give us a little introduction of who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I'm Helena and I'm an astrocartographer. I'm an author and I make YouTube videos on slow living, authentic living, but also how place really matters and where we live matters, and especially in relation to astrology and timing. And so I help people find the best places in the world for them, for going to travel places, but also for finding home. And one of the things that's really authentic to who I am in my life is child-free by choice and being child-free by choice, and something that I've always known about me. And I share my heart very vulnerably online to help inspire, uplift, and encourage other people to be true to who they are too. And, you know, especially in this world we live in where we're kind of you know, a lot of us are programmed by society and our peers and our parents and what we see online and what's expected of us. But I've always lived true to my heart. Like in 2012, I dropped out of college when everyone was going to college and my whole family disowned me because they were so upset that I left school. You know, I've always followed my heart. I've always gone with what authentically felt right to do. So big life changes, small things. And one of the big things in life is being child-free by choice. It's something I've always known about myself. And I find that just by sharing what's authentic to me, it uplifts or inspires other people to find what's true for them and their values too.
That is one thing that I love about you, and one reason why I was so drawn to having you on the show the first time and this time again, is like how you are so authentic. And I feel like we hear that word tossed around so much these days, like authenticity and being authentic online, but you really are like the person, like the epitome of that, because you just show up as yourself and you're not afraid to do it. Or maybe you are, but you're like feeling the fear and doing it anyways. And I remember when I found your YouTube channel, originally went onto your YouTube channel for astrocartography, and I saw you had all these other videos about child-free by choice and also about non-traditional marriage. And I was so drawn in because as a person who originally wanted like 5 kids, which is insane, and to now be in a place where I'm like, I don't know if I want to have any kids, I have found that decision and sort of that place that I'm in to be a really tough place. It's kind of like a wobbly place and a really just kind of like, it's a tough decision to make. And I found your content to be super inspiring and helpful as I'm like navigating these waters. But I'm so curious, what initially led you to embrace this lifestyle? You said it was something that you always kind of felt in your heart since you were a child.
Yeah. It's weird because I'm the most kid-loving person on the planet. Like, I'm such a baby person. I've always loved kids. I was like that little girl that wanted to babysit everyone in my neighborhood and my cousins and my mom's friends. And so I'm just a kid person. I have a Leo moon. You know, I love kids so much. And I love family life. But I've always known it's never been something that it became clear as I've gotten older, but it's just always been a knowing, like just a feeling like I'm not going to be a mom. That's just not something that's in my life story. And even when I was a little kid, it's just like, you know, seeing kids playing with dollies or strollers. I wanted to write, you know, when I was a little kid, my family would take me to the toy store and say, it's your birthday. What do you want? Pick a toy, pick whatever you want. And I would get a notebook and pencils. And like, I've always known that there's just something within me that's never felt like I wanted kids, even though I love them. And it's interesting because it's never something I've declared or like talked about. When I was 19, I donated my eggs twice to pay off my 1 year of college student loan debt, which was crazy. So I did that to pay off my student loans. And I remember even then thinking, I'm not having kids. So, you know, donated my eggs. Like, why not? Like, even then, and it was never something I like actively thought about. It was just like, yeah, that's just not happening for me in my life. And it's weird. And it's like, I could change my mind. Like, who knows what could happen? You know, my progress son will enter cancer when I'm 34. So life could completely change, but it's always been a feeling, a knowing. And I always encourage people to just really listen to their gut, like their heart, that knowing feeling. Your body knows it before your mind can catch up to it. And I think I've always wanted to travel and write, and there's just so many things you could do in life. There's so many things you could do to fill up your time on planet Earth. What are the things you're going to do? And for me, it's just, there's just so many things I want to do in this life. I want to do like 30 careers, different careers. I want to pivot and change a lot all in my life. Like, the idea of having a family, there's a lot to sacrifice. And it's not something I want to devote my time to.
No, it's so interesting. Well, one, I want to ask you about your family first, because you touched on the decision of college and to leave college and kind of being disowned by your family, which is, I can't even imagine, right? But how did this decision impact your family? Or I guess like the way your family treated you, did they have any sort of adverse reaction to it? Was it something that they kind of already knew you decided even before you declared it because of how you were as a child? Or was it something that they were like really surprised by?
My mom still is on my case about why I don't want kids. Like, she doesn't understand it. Like, even I saw her a couple days ago, and it was, when are you going to give me kids? Even though we've had the conversation a bajillion times, like, and then I've been very serious with her. And even with things before that, like, I don't want to go to school. When I go to New York, you know, I'm going to go to New York when I'm 18. I've been telling her since I was 12. When I was 18, she didn't understand it. There's that sense of like, just not understanding someone, and thus you can't comprehend it. So of course they'll change their mind, right? Because we're all seeing life through our own filters, our own projections. We're never seeing life as someone else is seeing it. We're seeing it as we see it. And so my dad, he passed away when I was 21. So he's never had an opinion on it. But I have a lot of aunts and uncles that are child-free by choice. And I think that also has influenced me in a way, because they're the only marriages that have lasted. A lot of my aunts and uncles, the ones that have lasted forever, they didn't have kids. Everyone else who had kids had marriages that fell apart. And this doesn't mean that if you have kids, the marriage falls apart. No, you can do both. My husband's parents, they've been together this whole time and they're fine. But I think seeing that as a kid, like, oh, you could not have kids and be like romantic all the time and like happily in love and passionate around each other and go travel and garden and have lots of dogs and cats. Like, I grew up seeing my aunt and uncle have so many animals all the time. And like, they had all their hobbies and their projects and their things that they were doing. And I think as a kid, I didn't realize it, but I took that in and was like, oh, you could do life in a different way if you wanted. You don't have kids. And then seeing as I got older, seeing my other aunts and uncles that have lasted forever, my other two sets, and just how they travel and all these things they do. And it's just, it's the same thing that was reinforced when I was a kid. And this doesn't, and again, this doesn't mean that you could, you know, have a hard marriage if you have kids. I've just found it to be more of a theme that consistently comes up with people.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that you had those really amazing examples in your life showed you that it was not just possible, but that it was something that could work, right? And kind of diving into some of the societal pressures and the cultural norms, you know, when you talk about sacrifice, I felt that, because as women, we are taught that it is kind of our duty almost to sacrifice so much of ourselves in society in order to be a good woman, right? It's like, we have to sacrifice our bodies to have children. We have to sacrifice our time to raise the kids, to have a good, you know, and this is in terms of like heterosexual relationships, but to have a good marriage, like, we have to sacrifice. We have to put our partners first. It's their careers, their whatever. And it becomes so tiring, because it's like, well, what about us? If we're always pouring so much into other people, what do we have left to give to ourselves? And I'm so tired and done with that narrative. And I feel like that's kind of how I've arrived at this point, because for the longest time in my life, I felt like, well, you know, that's the natural way that life goes. You get married, you settle down, you buy the house, you have the kids. And slowly over time, I've started to chip away at that and start to ask, well, why? Why do I have to get married? Or why do I have to buy a house, right? There are other ways to invest, aren't there? Like, people are like, oh, the house is the best way to invest. Like, is it though?
I know.
I know you talk about Bitcoin. So I'm like, is it the best way to invest? Like, it is a way, and it's a good way. People have made money off of like real estate for years, but is it the only way? Right. And so when we're talking about societal pressures in women, I want to understand how you've navigated those pressures and those, like, I guess, cultural norms over time. Like, was it something that you found yourself battling with once you had kind of come to this decision? Were you thinking, well, ooh, okay, am I going to find a partner that wants the same thing? Because that's also where I'm at too, is like, okay, now I'm single and I'm dating, and it's just kind of like, well, I'm also in Texas of all places where everybody wants children.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, where am I going to find a man that's like,
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
like, how did you navigate that? Yeah. Piece
of and they're out there. There are men out there that don't want kids for sure.
Yeah. I found one the other day at a bar, I will say. So it gave me hope, right? He didn't want to date me, but I was just like, okay, thank God. There's like, I found one in Texas. Like, that gives me hope.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot more people right now, more than ever before, are talking about this, that they don't want kids. Like, I've asked my aunts and uncles over the years, like, how come you haven't like defended yourself or talked about it with family? Or, you know, what do you say when people ask you and they say, oh, we don't talk about it. We just don't bring it up. We say, oh, maybe someday, but they don't go further than that. They never talk about it. I feel like in this day and age, our generation, we're talking about it now. We're, you know, defending this and protecting this choice. So that gives me hope too, because if more people are talking about it, then that means more people are being more reflective on who they are, what they value, their authenticity. And this will be, we'll be able to have more conversations, and thus more people probably won't want it. And you'll be able to find more people who won't want the same thing that you don't want, you know? So, or that you want. So, I will say that's really hopeful. That's really exciting, is that more people are talking about it. And I guess, yeah. So the thing is, you know, my husband, like when we met, we were just started dating. I remember very vividly, we were on the subway. We were waiting for the subway. We got on the subway. We saw a kid, and he turns to me and says, "I don't think I want kids." And I literally was like, "Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. We've had the conversation. We've had the conversation this soon. This is great." Because it's like, you could be with someone for 2 years and then finally have the conversation on kids, which is a very important conversation. That's like a make it or break it, deal breaker conversation when you're in a relationship, is like how you spend money and if you want kids, is like the two big ones, and maybe religion too. And when he said that very early on in dating, I was like, oh my God, thank God. Now I can tell him about the egg donation process. I can tell him about all the things. But that was really lucky. Obviously, there's a lot of guys that do want kids and all of that. But I think when you just start being more open-minded on like, how else could I live life? Like, what other ways could fill my time? I could travel. I could pursue projects, hobbies. I could start a business. I could, you know, volunteer more. I can donate to charities more with that money, that extra money I have. That freedom that you have with your time. It's like when you start thinking about all the ways you could fill your time, your money, all of those things, you start to realize that there are other ways. And this, it seems like an alternative way of living, but I think it's just, there's like two ways of living. You have kids or you don't, you know, and it's both are great. And it's interesting because when you're child-free by choice and you speak up on it, people either love it or they hate it. Like I get so much pushback just by talking about what I think. And it's empowered me even more to talk about it more online because they're reflecting back their fears, their insecurities, their judgments about child-free by choice women, that it makes you want to speak up more on it. But yeah, it's like I've gone through phases of life where like I tried the housewife thing where for 2 years I moved to France. Yeah, like I moved to France and followed my husband for his job. I quit my business, my photography business, left all my friends. I moved to France for 2 years just to experiment. We were going to go move back to the US and I would start over again. And I was like, I just want to experiment, just see what it's like. Because I've always hustled. I've always, you know, since I was like 7 years old, I had a mail route. So like I've just always worked since I was a kid. So it's like, wow, the first time in my life where I don't have to work and I can like have more receptive energy. I can receive more as opposed to doing and giving all the time. And that was fun. And then like a year and a half came in and I was like, but I have so much within me that I want to do. I don't want to just be at home and take French classes and that's my life. Like I want to do more. And so I started babysitting, which was a fun, like I love kids, so it was fun. And then I started getting into YouTube and I started making YouTube videos. And through YouTube, I found like all these other things I love, like astrophotography and going into all these different things I love. I found my purpose, my calling, what I'm passionate about. And so in some ways, I did that experiment and I got a lot out of it because it's like I had that time to explore my interests and I had time to like learn and study different things. But I wouldn't go back to that life because there's something really empowering about like having your own money and making your own money and your own choices and all that. And that now it's like, oh my gosh, like the freedom is too good, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I don't think, I've always said like, I just don't think I could be the housewife that doesn't do anything. And before someone comes for me, I don't mean like, you know, saying that housewives don't do anything, but I'm saying, you know, the soft life that we see a lot of people romanticizing these days where it's like Pilates, gyms, like getting coffee, taking a walk, going to bed. It's like, I need more than that. And I do think there's something to be said about having a little bit more time to explore your interests. So, you know, not having to hustle, knowing that your bills will be paid and things will be taken care of.
and allowing yourself to explore there and getting to open new doors. So I think finding some way to create that in my life, and I've really been trying to lean into that in an individual way. So it's like, okay, how can I, you know, pay my bills still, but still explore. And for me, it's been kind of like leaning back with certain projects in my life in order to have more time to do things like, you know, pickleball lessons and tennis lessons and just like sewing lessons, all the lessons. I'm like, I want to do all the things and like learn all the things just for fun, just to explore, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if you're in a balsamic moon phase on your lunar progressions. Do you follow your progression cycle?
I don't. Oh my God. But I need to know. I gotta figure that out.
Basically, we have 30-year cycles of our life with the moon.
Yeah.
And so okay. We started, you know, we have new moon phases where we're planting seeds for the future to bloom later on down the line. But you might be in a balsamic phase, which is when it's a time of like recalibration. You're letting go of the old. It's more restful. It's surrender. But it's also a time of like taking classes, learning new things, learning and experimenting with new pursuits that you want to do and learn just for fun too. But it's that period right before. It's like the unknown. It's the mystery of life, like for about 2 years where you're exploring and then you enter that new moon phase of your life where it kicks off a new 30-year cycle of your life. So you're going
to... Oh, I love that.
Yeah, increase and all that. But yeah, it's really interesting.
But okay, I'll have to look and find out because it literally what you described, like I said, I think I told you earlier in this episode, like I'm scaling back on the podcast. I was, you know, taking what I'm going to be calling a sabbatical very soon and just like taking some time off and just kind of like resting more. Like I was literally, I was having this conversation. I went to a networking event last night and we were talking about how creating a ton, overconsumption has become the norm in our society, especially with like all these social media apps. And I think when you are a creative individual, it becomes this thing where you feel like you're on this hamster wheel trying to create because people are consuming at such a high volume. And I'm like, I don't like that. Like, I want to be able to kind of create when I feel inspired and when I feel excited about the thing and not almost like I have to forcefully do it, like force myself to keep making things. And I feel like I'm typically very disciplined, but I almost feel like this stage, I want to just kind of like rest a bit more and allow myself to like fill my cup back up to create things in the future.
You also could just pop in when you have something to say. Like my YouTube channel, it's like at a high point now, but I stopped making videos for like the last 3 months and I just pop in whenever I want to talk about something. So yeah. You could like ebb and flow. When something inspires you, you can make something, you know, but I
love that.
Yeah. And when I moved to France, I was in my new moon phase. So it was that time of like new beginnings, learning something that I'll grow in the future, but I wasn't, you know, getting results at that time or being seen for the work I was doing, things like that. You aren't in the new moon phase. But as you progress, you start to increase the speed of that. Really interesting, the progressions. Check it out. You can check it on like astro.com for free or something.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Well, thank you so much for like pointing that out.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Well, I do have a question kind of following what we just left off the conversation with the child-free stuff is how, like, what advice would you give someone who is in a place like myself? Maybe selfishly, I'm asking for that advice, right? Where they're navigating this terrain of not knowing. And I would say not knowing, but most likely leaning towards child-free life, but almost like a fear around one, what does that mean I would have to let go? Because as you talked about, there are so many different things that open up when you decide to live a child-free life, but there are also a lot of things that you decide you will probably never in this life experience, right? Like giving birth or like breastfeeding, like, you know, seeing your child walk for the first time, like all of these moments that we see people talk about and they're so precious. Like, how do you, I guess, come to terms with letting that go or the possibility of like never having that in order to embrace all these other things that are on the other side of that?
I would say, one, what do you think is the root fear of missing out? Is it FOMO? Is it maybe in your heart, in your soul, your inner voice feels called to experience that? And maybe this is a time of exploration, of data collecting and learning about the pros and cons of this. What if I do this? What or not? And maybe, you know, the heart, the inner voice calling, your intuition will guide you toward the thing that you most would fill your heart, you know? And then also a big thing is, are you afraid? And this is a question for anyone out there, is like, are you afraid of the future? If you don't have a kid, you know, who will look after you? That's a big concern that a lot of people have, is a lot of people have kids because they worry about their older age or them in their 50s, Christmases, you know, they worry about that stuff. So I would ask, you know, is there a fear of that that's coming up? And also, what was modeled as a child, you know, with family and things like that? That would be some questions to look into. I do a lot of journaling. I get a lot of answers through my journal. So I'll be like, dear inner voice, dear intuition, why am I feeling afraid of this? Where is this coming from? How can I look at this differently? Why am I afraid? Why? And I keep asking why. And I breathe and I do breath work and I wait for the answer to come up through that gap between the inhale and the exhale. So I'll like exhale and I'll just wait for that energy, that information. And it can come up in a word, it can be a phrase, it can also just be a feeling in your gut. But I often will have that connection, that conversation with my journal, and things will come up. And they can also come up when you're walking, when you're doing something, when you're washing the dishes. You'll just get a feeling of a knowingness of, ah, that was it. That's what I needed clarity on. And what I'm sensing right now is that you're in a phase of data collecting. So you're in that phase of like exploring, learning, experimenting. And I would wait for a catalyst to arrive. And a catalyst is that like that moment of epiphany or like awareness, or like you have a conversation with someone, or you meet someone, or there's something that happens in your life where it gives you that, ah, that's it. That's the answer I've been looking for. So kind of keeping your antennas up to like see, you know, what's being presented in my life. What am I learning? You know, the Reddit threads you find, the Google.
Yes. I know. Love the Reddit threads.
Because you might find one person respond in a Reddit thread and it's exactly what you think, or it's something you know to be true and it resonates to your core. And you might read something else that's like, oh, that's pointing me in this direction. That will point you somewhere else. So it's like paying attention to the YouTube videos, the articles online, all of that stuff. And do you know what human design you are? Do you happen to know?
I am 5-1 projector.
Oh, okay. You're a projector.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Oh, I love that. So yeah, I mean, you're a 5. So isn't that the not the hermit, the martyr?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Investigator is the one. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like sharing what you know or what you're learning. Yeah. So that would be my advice for anyone who's exploring that. And also make it your journey. Like that's the biggest advice I have for someone who's like exploring this, is forget the outside noise. When you start dating someone, for like, just listen to yourself, because you'll get persuaded, whoever you're dating, whoever you're with, your friends, your family, that seeps in. And so just keeping your channel really clear, you know, every day writing to your journal, either in the morning, lighting a candle, sitting with the flame, observing the flame, writing some thoughts down, going for a walk, waiting for that catalyst, or having that connection with your inner voice, even on a walk without writing, and just allowing that be a sacred, safe space for you to explore. And no judgment, you know, like if you find yourself wanting to do something else or whatever, like allowing that safe space for no judgment is like really key when exploring this topic, which is, it is so sensitive and it is such an emotional, almost biological part of us. I will say though, I've never felt, I love children, but I've never felt maternal. I've never had the instinct to give birth, breastfeed.
Same.
Yeah. Like same. It's never been something I've ever been like, oh, I can't wait to experience that someday. You know, it's never been a thing in my mind ever. So it's like, that's why the answer for me is so simple and so straightforward, is because I've never had that instinct. For someone who does have that instinct, you know, it's important to go deeper with that.
No, absolutely. And yeah, same. I've never had that. Like, you know, when people are like baby fever, like I literally look at babies and I'm like, oh, hello. Like I don't, there's nothing. There's just nothing. But I will say I've always, like whenever I would imagine having kids, like when I was younger, it was always imagining like when they were in that version of themselves where they could talk and have conversations with me and almost like imagining me being able to teach someone all the things that I wish I knew and like having a daughter and being able to be like, let me help you or having those conversations or being able to guide her or, you know, just like observe things in her life. It was always that being able to give her things that I never had, like got the chance to have. But it was never like the, I can't wait to hold a baby. It was like, no, like let's just blink and go to like age 7. Like, let's just get to like that age.
Yeah. And there's so many ways you could do that too. Like I love babysitting and nannying because I get that full experience of like teaching kids and all that. It sucks though, because as you get close to the kids, you move or you leave or they get older, they don't need a babysitter anymore. And as time goes on, you know, you talk to them less and less and then eventually don't talk to them at all. And it's like, oh my gosh, I miss that guidance, that like being able to mentor and help. You know, but I've learned that for me, like, I want to do so many careers in my life. I want to be a teacher, like for kids. I want to do theater school. Like, I want to be a theater youth director and like put on.
I love that. That's so niche.
Oh my God. Like, I want to be like a youth director and like do that for like school, like theater, like performing arts and plays and musicals. Like, that is like my dream career someday. So it's like, there's so many ways that you could guide kids. Teenagers, and you don't have to be a parent to do that.
I was actually looking up the other day, becoming like a big brother, big sister, like the whole program here in Texas and how to like mentor. Cause I used to do that when I was in high school and college. And so I was just like, oh, maybe I'll become a mentor for like a high school student. And that way I kind of have that connection with someone and I don't have to like be a parent. So that was like another thing. So back to the data collection and, you know, trying different things, experimenting, which I think, again, all of the ideas and the advice you're giving, I'm loving. I will say, though, there is something to that FOMO piece. And I do feel like with the, again, the societal expectations of what it means to be a woman, I think for a lot of women, there's almost this fear of if I don't do X, Y, and Z, like, do I fulfill my purpose as a woman? And then there is also that fear of missing out when you're turning, you know, I'm about to be 30 and you're seeing people around you getting married, settling down, buying houses, having kids, and you're not doing that. It becomes really apparent and you feel almost like this outsider who's not able to connect. Like, you know, with friends that I have that have kids, like I can't connect with them whenever we're having certain conversations and they share certain things. It's like, I mean, I'll say the best thing I can say to sort of empathize or to try to relate. But the truth is I can't relate specifically to certain things that they talk about and vice versa. To like, they'll look at things that I'm doing and they're like, well, I can't relate to that. I don't have the time to do that anymore. I can't, you know, I'm married now. I can't go out to the bars and to do all these things that you're doing. And so it's almost like that fear too of drifting away from connections that you have, right? And I think on the Reddit threads, that's something I've seen as well, where people who are child-free by choice, especially couples, they're like, you know, we have to put in more work to find other couples who we can hang out with that don't have the responsibility of children to take care of, and they can kind of do, they're a little bit more available to do certain things.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, that's my husband and I, like so many of his friends are like having kids and getting married and like he can't relate to any of them. And same with me. And that's just, you know, the allowing and letting go of relationships that aren't close anymore. And it's sad. It's like part of that, you know, that cycle that happens. But I will say there's so many people that aren't having kids and it's like, they're somewhere. You know, especially now, they're out there. Like, there's so many people our age that are like on this train of child-free by choice. Where are they hanging out? Because they're out there somewhere. I think a lot of them are traveling. A lot of them are, you know, in cities. But yeah, I've met a lot of child-free by people, especially in New York City, that are older, like in their 40s, and they didn't have kids. And I don't know, maybe I'm like, I've been around that. And so I've seen that and felt really good and safe in that choice because I've seen it play out for other people and it looks cool.
No, I agree. Yeah. They're out there. It's kind of like going back to your perception comment. It's like, what are you choosing to see in your reality? If you're believing, well, everyone has kids by this age and everyone's married and everyone's settling down. Because I know sometimes I get into that sort of like that mental place where I'm like almost victimizing my situation. And I start to see a reflection of everyone has the thing that I want and I don't have it. Versus when you start to dial in and you're like, okay, not everyone's living that life. We're all on different paths. And you really start to zone in. You start to look around and you realize like, okay, there are more people that are either on a similar path as myself or who I can relate to a bit more. Or maybe there are people who are experiencing something completely different, but there's a way that I can converse with them and learn something from them and just sort of like take advice from like how they navigated their current path.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I do think it's also perception because I, in my like circle of influence, my friends, my closest friends, the people I follow on social media, they're women in their late 30s, early 40s, 50s. They don't have kids. So I think in my like orbit, I'm seeing how cool it is. And so that's like kind of what I'm seeing in my own like perception, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have been seeing a ton more of that content on TikTok lately. I suppose it's the algorithm.
Yeah.
Responding to what I'm like commenting on liking. But it has been really expansive, right? To hear different stories of women. There's also that trend happening right now where it's like, if you're a woman who's like in her 30s, starting over, you did that, like tell me your story. And so I've been watching a lot of those and kind of hearing women who are like, you know, I was 29 or I was 30 and I like moved away from my hometown or I ended a marriage or I, you know, did this thing that was so different and like what that was like for them. And that has also been incredibly expansive. So they're out there. Those stories are out there. Whatever you're looking for, you can find it. I want to dive into some of the misconceptions and myths. So what are some of the common misconceptions or stereotypes about people who choose to live a child-free life that you want to clear up today?
Totally. The biggest one and the one that's most triggering and hurtful to me is that we don't like kids or we don't like children. We don't like babies. That is so hurtful to me because I'm such a kid person and I love babies. Another common misconception or myth with being child-free by choice is you won't have time to do all the things you want to do and like your hobbies, your work, your creative pursuits. I actually find that mothers they do more than anyone else because when you have a kid, that kid gives you like a pressure cooker of time every day where it's like, you've only got 2 hours to do that thing, pursue that hobby, you know, make that blanket, whatever it is, to volunteer, whatever your passion is, you only have 2 hours in a day. So you got to get it all done in those 2 hours. I find moms to be the most working, like busy, active. They get the most done than even more people than child-free by choice because they somehow like fill those pockets of time in. Whereas if you've got all the time in the world, you might fill all that time, you know, with other things that aren't your passion or your work or whatever, your service, your contributions or whatever it is that you're doing. So I think one of the myths is that people think you can't do both. You can do both. And if you're child-free by choice, that doesn't mean you're going to get all the things done with your extra time. You might be distracted or fill it with other things, you know? So I think that's a big misconception also of being child-free and motherhood.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like that thing. I feel like there's a quote about this or something about how like you, if you have a certain specific thing that you want to get done, like set a timer or set a certain amount of time and like force yourself to kind of get as much as you can done. Cause there's something about that. I'll do this thing where I have a specific playlist that's a certain amount of time. And when I want to clean, for example, I'll put it on and it'll be like a TV show montage where I'm like, I have to get everything done within this specific time before the playlist is done. It's like a challenge. It's really fun. Yeah, but going back to the selfish comment, I feel like that's one that really grinds my gears as well, because it's kind of like there are two sides to that. And I think one is that I always question like, well, what's wrong with being selfish, right? I feel like we've come to almost make being selfish such a bad thing. But for me, when I think of being selfish, I think of being about the self. And I think there's like maybe a spectrum to selfishness perhaps, right? But I don't think there's anything wrong with saying in this life, I want to pour as much as I can into myself. I want to explore. I want to travel. I want to do all these things. And not, again, not to say you can't do it and be a mom, but if someone chooses to do all of that and not be a parent, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, especially because it doesn't affect your life. Like if they're not, if them having, like not having a child affects your life somehow, I really want to understand how, because I really, like, to me, it's never made sense to get angry at these people. Cause I'm just like, but how is that bothering you? Like, how is that affecting your ability to like eat or to live or to thrive? No, it's not. So what is the issue?
That's the thing. That's the thing that boggles my mind the most. Cause I, you know, I've had this conversation with so many people, and like men are never offended for some reason by being child-free by choice. Like they never, you know, want an explanation, or they're confused, or they want to like ask you why, like, how could you not? They don't try to guilt you or shame you. I've never had that interaction with a guy when I've talked about this, but it's more women that like are defensive, or like they feel the need to justify why they had kids. Even if it's in a kind way, it's like they need to explain themselves. You don't need to explain why you wanted kids. You wanted kids and you had them, you know? And it's like, there's, for some reason, it's such a triggering topic with women, and I don't know why. And I can't help but think, is it something biological? Is it something like, or is it the fact that maybe they do have some regrets, or they didn't do the things they wanted to do, and so they're questioning their own choices, even if it's subconscious, you know, and it makes them think in their free spare moments, you know, like, did I, like, I could have done life differently. And thus they get triggered and they want to fight on it. But it's weird. It's interesting. And also going back to your amazing point about your life, like your soul came to do life in a certain way, your natal promise, your astrology, your birth chart can show this at a quick snapshot, but like your soul, you know what you came here in life to do. And not everyone wants that. I know for me that I've seen in my chart, but also I've done past life regressions. I've sacrificed so much of my life for children, family, friends, other people in past lives, recent past lives. In this life, I am meant to just do me and be independent and do my own thing. And it's so, so clear in so many ways. And that's my soul. It's not my ego. It's the soul came through into this lifetime wanting to experience life in a certain way. And we all are going through our own natal promises, our own soul journeys. And like to encourage other people to be true to themselves, that's like the best thing we could do to help other people in life, is support and encourage other people to be true to who they are and what they want, and to not, you know, fear judgment or be pressured to do certain things because society or people tell them to. It's like living authentically to your soul journey and your intuition.
Yeah. But I do think, to your point, I do think that some people, not just, you know, certain women, but I think like certain people in general are triggered by someone living in their authenticity and choosing to go against the grain because they wish they could do that. And they're kind of like, oh, damn, like I see them kind of doing this thing and I wish I had the courage to tell my parents I don't want to do this, or to tell my husband or my wife or whatever, or my friends that I want to go this way. But they have that fear. And so they're living a life that's not truly authentic. And when they see someone else doing that, it just really highlights that for them.
Totally. Yeah. And it makes them question. And it's all timing too. I mean, it's like we're living a different time in life. You know, our parents, they grew up in a different time. I think this is like the best time to be alive right now, in the sense like we have more freedom. I don't know. We're kind of going backwards in a lot of ways, but yeah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
But we talked about some of the benefits of a child-free lifestyle. Is there any other benefit that you personally want to highlight? Something that maybe has been super special for you in your experience?
I would say the biggest reason and the biggest thing I love about being child-free by choice is silence.
Oh my gosh. Stop it. That's like my favorite thing ever.
It's the best. I just have an empty house.
Peace and quiet is so unmatched.
I know. And it's such a small thing that people don't usually think about when they think about child-free by choice, but it's actually like the biggest thing. Because when you have kids, there is always noise somewhere in the house, whether it's toys, whether it's screaming, whether it's talking, whether it's just noise always going on. When you don't have kids, it's like you get this spaciousness. And it's like in that spaciousness, that silence, that stillness, you have time to meditate, which is a non-negotiable for me in my self-care. But also, it's like, I don't know, there's just that peace, that tranquility, connection with the intuition, the inner voice, your hobbies, creative inspiration that comes out of nowhere, epiphanies, aha moments. It comes in that silence. It's like if you're constantly bombarded, we're already bombarded enough by social media and YouTube and the media and everything. But to have that all around in your life, like just toys everywhere. Like for me, I'm very sensitive to like any stimulation. So like, you know, sounds for sure, but also like just like clutter, like little piles of things and random places. It's like it overwhelms me. I can't imagine having a kid and having toys on the ground or like having crumbs like that. I mean, I'm like, I'm a germaphobe. I'm like, I can't.
I feel like we're the same person right now because when I tell you, so I told you I like moved recently. I moved on a Friday. By Sunday, my entire home was unpacked. Everything was like packed away because I'm like, I simply could not sleep properly. I could not exist in the home with like boxes and things everywhere. I was like, no, I need to get this done because there's no way that I can have peace. Yeah. If there is like a thing out of place. So completely. I completely understand. When I tell you, I vacuum like twice a day. Don't forget. But it's just sometimes I'll see a crumb.
Oh, yes.
Wipe it up.
A single crumb.
A single crumb. And then I have hardwood floor. So I will see that crumb. And then I'm like, I always get like a damp paper towel and I'm like wiping the floor. Yeah. If I like catch the light a certain way and there's like a stain on the floor, I'm like wiping. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I'm the same. Little tiny crumbs, little like things out of place. I'm like, we gotta stop everything and fix that. If you have kids, I mean, that life is out the window.
Yeah. No, it's, I think we all have to know our limits, right? And going back to, again, the selfishness comment, I think one thing that I respect about people that choose to be child-free by choice is that they are honoring their decision and knowing where they're at. Because I think that if someone is like, I don't like all of these things, and maybe some other parts of being a parent, they just like know they wouldn't enjoy, but they go into it because they're like, well, this is what I have to do. And then all of a sudden now they're not a good parent. They're like not taking care of their child well, or they're always angry and irritated. They're always annoyed by the noise. It doesn't make for a good experience for them as a parent or for their child. And now you're like traumatizing a child extra because you don't like X, Y, and Z. And you went and like had a child anyways because you thought you had to. So I feel like there's something like it's not... I think if anything, understanding your limits and knowing what you can offer and what you can't offer and choosing to make a decision based off that is like very selfless, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. It's way more selfish to have a child because of an obligation or because you feel like you need to because of your parents or pressure or fear of growing old and not having someone take care of you. I think that is one of the worst way, like reasons to have a child. And yeah, and it's entirely selfish. But doing it because you want to, because it's like in your heart and it's something you want to give, because being a parent, it's the ultimate form of sacrifice, of giving everything for someone else, a human that's helpless, a baby, you know, devoting your life for 18 plus years. And that's another thing. A lot of people think it's just 18 years and then they go and they can take care of themselves. It's for life. Having a child will change your life forever until you die. You will have that kid. And it's I think it's something that people don't think about. It's like with pets too. I don't have a cat or a dog. I've been wanting a cat or a dog for like 10 years. Still don't have one because I know the sacrifice that comes with, if I want to travel, I'm going to have to pay for a kennel or like, you know, a place for them to go. I want to make sure they have everything and they're happy, you know? I know that having an animal requires a lot of sacrifice of time and all of that. But I've never gotten an animal because of that. And I've seen so many of my friends over the years growing up in college and, you know, young 20s, they just give their parents their pets to their parents, and then they don't see them anymore. And they give them away. And it's like, I don't know. It's like thinking about long-term consequences. And like, what does that mean if you decide to have a child? Because that's even 10 times bigger than having a pet. Like, that's infinitely more of a deal. So it's like a lot of people don't think about that lifetime, you know, responsibility, which is so big.
I will say that was one thing that I found really interesting, like in the Reddit threads, where the people that were like child free by choice, but also had like a bunch of pets. To me, it doesn't click. And I mean, live your life, you know, but for me, I was just like, the reason that I would not want to have a child is also the same reason I would not want to have a pet in this season of my life.
It's so selfless when you realize this is who I am. This is what I want out of life. This is who I am authentically deep down. This is what I value and what I want in my life. And then also acknowledging these are my wounds. These are my traumas. These are the things that I have not healed. And maybe in this life, I am meant to heal that on my own journey. And I don't need to give that to a kid, or I don't need to put that projection onto a child, you know, early in life, because I haven't healed my pain. I think that's also really noble. And selfless to admit that and to have that self-awareness. And I feel like a lot of people think about just having a kid without going back to themselves. And what do they need to heal in themselves too? You know, and we're always on healing journeys forever. We're never going to be fully healed, but in some ways. But I just think that self-awareness is beautiful. And I think people who are child-free by choice, they have so much self-awareness.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this has been such a wonderful conversation. I do have like a couple more questions to wrap us up. One of the first would be, what are some resources, if you have any? I know we've mentioned the Reddit threads like a million different times. I think your channel, your YouTube channel is another resource, but what are some other ones, maybe some books or podcasts that you would recommend for individuals who are considering this lifestyle or who are already there and want to find friends or other couples that are embracing the same lifestyle as themselves?
Yeah, I don't have any books on child-free by choice. I've never read any books. It's just been my own journey, my own Reddit. I love Reddit threads. I love Google articles. So I haven't read any books on the topic, but I will say there's an amazing book called Callings, Finding and Following an Authentic Life by Greg Lavoie, I believe. I think it was a book in the 80s, but it is my number one favorite book of all time. And it's so beautifully written, and it's all about callings and like, what is your calling in life? What are your different callings in life, and how to stay true to yourself? And to honor that inner whisper, that inner guidance within you. That book has changed my life. I read it years and years ago. It was I took 3 books with me to France when I moved to France from the United States. And that was like the number one book I took with me. So I would say that's an amazing resource for people who just want to get in touch with themselves and what they desire in life.
Ooh, okay. I'm gonna have to look that up. I'm in my era of reading slowly these days, but when I get through the list of books that I have right now, I will definitely be reading that one because it sounds amazing. And it's such a beautiful thing that it was like one of the few books that you took with you when you moved. So that says a lot. So yeah. Yes.
One of the other books I took with me was The Desire Map by Danielle Laporte.
I've heard of that one. Yeah. Isn't there like, there's a workbook as well. It's like the book and the workbook.
It's in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Callings is like my number one, but Desire Map's really good for getting in touch with your values in a workbook style.
Ooh, I'm going to look that up because my Saturn returns in my second house, as you know. And so values is in that one. So I'm going to have to look that book up. Thank you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Helena, for joining us for this episode. I would love for you to give us a little spiel of where we can find you. I'll have links for everything in the show notes. And I know we asked you, or who's we? Oh my God, I know I asked you this last time, but what are some things that you're looking forward to in 2024? I think last time we talked about Australia.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. I know, it's kind of shifted a little bit. Ooh. I'm heading out to Sri Lanka next. So that's where I'm going.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was like a shift. Okay. Okay. Yes.
I know. And it's interesting because I'm in my Saturn return like by degree. So it's really intense right now, but I want to go to my Saturn MC line, and that's in Sri Lanka. So it's a hard line, but I feel called to go. And so I just honoring that intuition and even with the hard transit. So I'm excited to see what's going to come from it. I'm also manifesting, Sri Lanka trip. I also want to manifest, and I guess it's like a goal of mine, is I'm working on a certification program for astrocartography. So getting certified readers on my team, because I'm doing so many readings, I'm booking out months in advance, I can't see as many people as I want to see, you know? So it's been like crazy, and it's like I want to help more people. And so the solution is to do a certification. So there's an assessment for readers who want to go really deep and like pass the test and, you know this, who really know this, and help them book readings so that they can help people. So yeah, I basically want to expand this. And also another big thing that I want to manifest is I want to work with like Google Maps or like some travel app to do astrocartography. So like basically creating an app right now. I'm just looking for like a software developer. So it's like helping people go to the best cafes in their town, the best restaurants, the best gym to work out, things like that too.
I would be obsessed.
I know.
Please help me.
Yes, I know. Like I'm like, that's like the big picture dream manifestation in life. But I'm totally working there. But yeah, you guys can find me on YouTube. I have two YouTube channels. One is Helena Woods, where I talk about child-free by choice. The other one is Astrocartography with Helena, where I talk about the energy of place and location. And then you can find me at my website, helenawoods.com. I have a ton of free resources, free blog posts, free guides you can download at my newsletter. And then I'm on Instagram at Ms. Helena Woods.
Amazing. Thank you so, so, so much. I literally enjoyed this conversation so much. Oh my God, the thunder is aggressive all of a sudden. I don't know if you heard that, but thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. And of course, we'll keep in touch. We'll be chatting again. And I'll have all of the links for everything you mentioned in the show notes.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, my love. I hope you're enjoying Manifest Daily, whether this is your second or your 22nd episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. And if you really love this show, I would appreciate it if you could do me a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It really helps the show grow and reach more listeners like yourself. And like I said, I would be super grateful for you to leave that 5-star review. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this amazing and growing podcast community. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode.